I hold in my hand a certificate such as people receive when they're going to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church, whether by baptism or whether by profession of faith, for those who have already been baptized by immersion, as Jesus gave the example. And in this small looking thing, there are actually 28 fundamental Bible teachings, Bible beliefs that the Adventist Church find foundational for an understanding of God and the world and man and our relationship to other. And for each of these 28 Bible teachings, there are listed numerous texts. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has no creed. The Bible is our creed. This is our guide of truth for whatever subject we may be looking at. And there are more than 28 things that we can study. We could have a Bible study on angels, and we can find numerous verses in the Bible about that. We can study on dealing with anger and look at all what the Bible teaches about that. And we could learn about hospitality. And there is much that the Bible teaches about that. So the Bible, as we just read in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Also verse 15, it says, is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So the Bible alone is the rule of faith for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But we do express 28 foundational Bible teachings. And I'd like to look at just one of those, just as an example, taking the texts that are listed for the, you know, they number them something. Number 8 is actually the great controversy, the great controversy theme. So let's see, if we were to look at the text in this, the Bible teaching of the great controversy. So if you have a controversy, a simple word for that is a fight, right? Or, you know, and these can be in words sometimes. Sometimes the words progresses to more than words. And actually Revelation gives us a specific detail of that, and we'll get to that briefly. But to have a fight, how many parties do you have to have? At least two, okay. And in some countries we see, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 groups fighting all each other, but usually 2 or 3 gang up on one, and then when that gets, you know, so it usually comes down to 2 groups. So to understand the great controversy, we kind of have to begin with examining the parties involved. So first I want to look at God, the one party, and John, if we'll turn to the Gospel of John. Actually, I'd like to start with prayer at this point. So, dear Father in heaven, we pray you'll please send the Holy Spirit and continue to teach us as we look at these verses. And in Jesus' name I pray and thank you. Amen. So, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14, if we're having any wonder as to who the Word is, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that is God. We see God, God, a unity of three beings. And I'd like also to look at Exodus 34:6. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed before him, that is Moses, who had asked to see God. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering or patient, and abundant in goodness and truth. So that is who God is. And we'll see the contrasting party in a few verses. So God is mercy and truth, gracious and long-suffering. And then also we want to see 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. So just shortly before Revelation, 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, Jesus, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all in God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So James says, every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. So that's one party, eternally good, a unity of three beings and full of mercy and truth, in whom there is no darkness at all. So let's look at the other party in this great controversy. We find that in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 to 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13 in Isaiah 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, verse 15, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, also destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? For the Bible speaks of humans as being prisoners in the house of sin. But God does open the house of the sinner, of the prison, that those who want to come out may come out and be free. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and you shall be free indeed. John 8:44. So we've seen a good description of Satan, how he wanted to be above God. It is said that he had eye trouble. I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. I will be above the throne of God. John 8:44, Jesus says of Satan, or Lucifer, who then became known as Satan, the adversary. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus declares that Satan was the instigator of lies. There were no lies. Lies didn't exist before Lucifer fell. And yet we've seen that that God is mercy and truth, and there is no darkness in God at all. So Jesus declares that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. If Satan had been able to murder God, he would have. That was his object. If he could just get rid of him, I'm going to be above him. If I could, I'll take him out. And that's what Satan became, by pride. As we see in Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel 28, verses 14 to 19. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, said God. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You can read about these stones in Exodus 24:10. The Bible always explains itself, and you could be like surfing on the internet. We could go many different directions, but you keep searching, and the Bible always explains itself. So God is saying, Satan was there in the many. You were in the stones of fire with me. You were next to the throne. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created, until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up. Why? Because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. And therefore will I, God, bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So that's the beauty, is that this enemy will one day be destroyed and be no more forever. And Nahum 1:9, we won't turn there, but says, affliction shall not rise a second time. When God makes an end of sin, one day soon, when he comes in the clouds of heaven, a final end will be made. And Nahum says, affliction shall not rise the second time. As we look at this war further on, we go to Revelation chapter 12, this great controversy. Okay, Revelation 12 verses 3 to 11. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. I'm going to jump forward to verse 9 so that we're not left wondering who the dragon is. So verse 9, and then we'll get back to verse 4. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So again, the Bible clearly tells us that the great dragon is Satan. So we go back to verse 4, and his, the dragon or Satan's, tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So we didn't read verses 1 and 2. It talked about a woman who would have a child. And this was a woman, as we can study in Jeremiah and many other references, a woman in the Bible is a church. So God's people of God's church would have a son, a child. And this verse 4 says, the dragon or Satan would be ready there to try and devour this child that would be born to God's church. So we see that son, that child, of course, is Jesus, the Son, God, who would become born of a virgin, God, the miraculous birth, God, the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary, as described in the Gospel. The Holy Spirit shall come upon Mary, and then that thing conceived in her shall be called the Son of God. That's a verse in Matthew or Luke, I forget which. So Satan would be there ready to try to kill Jesus, God, as soon as he came amongst humanity. And then we realize how Herod, as part of the Roman Empire, when the wise men came seeking the Son of God, Herod inquired carefully of them, okay, when did you see the star? And it must have been about 2 years earlier, because Herod determined to kill every person in Bethlehem, every boy, child younger than two in the town of Bethlehem, so that Herod, Satan through Herod, could try to kill Jesus. But instead, the Holy Spirit appeared to Mary in a dream, or appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, and said, arise quickly and get thee into Egypt, for Herod seeketh Jesus' life. Okay, so verse 4. And his tail, the dragon's tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So what are the stars? We go back to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 1:20. The mystery of the seven is different context slightly, but the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So stars represent angels. So it says that the dragon was able to draw or deceive a third of the angels with his tail. And the Bible explains what a tail is as well. If we turn to Isaiah 9:15. I might venture back to Revelation 12. Isaiah 9:15. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. So again, the scripture is just beautiful. It always explains itself. Here in Isaiah says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. A good way of studying the Bible. It's also good just to read the Bible through to get the whole story of the Bible. Both ways are very valuable. We need to move on. So I think we've gathered, well, I hate to move on. It's back to Revelation 12. We'll skip to verse 7. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, or another name for Jesus, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The Greek word for war, and there was war in heaven, it's the Greek word polemics, from which we get, polemics? Politics. Yeah. Politics and polemics. So this was more so a war of words, a war of ideas. And we've already seen that Satan was the first liar, the father of lies. We saw that the tale, how he deceived a third of the angels, was with lies. And we're going to turn to Genesis 3 to get an idea of what these lies were. With what lies could Satan actually deceive a third of the angels? Now the good news about this is, if a third of the angels were deceived, how many angels does that leave on God's side? Two. So the evil angels are outnumbered 2 to 1. And God is infinite power. God is all powerful. And Satan is a created being. So whose side would you rather be on? I would rather be on God's side. And he makes that possible for us to do. It's just our choice. So anyway, let's get an idea of what the lies are. These lies deceived a third of the angels. Now, just imagine a whole civilization in which no one ever lied. Lies didn't even exist. It's hard for us to imagine that, but just imagine a whole civilization in which no one had ever lied to anyone ever before. No lies. And someone comes to you with a story. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle or deceitful than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And we've already seen from Revelation 12 that Satan is called the dragon, the serpent, who deceives the whole world. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden of Eden? And Eden saying, well, no, that's not. You're making it sound like we can't eat. I mean, no, God gave us all these trees to eat from. What are you saying? God's generous. It's just one tree in the garden, in the midst of the garden that we shouldn't eat or touch. Eve says we shouldn't touch it. Lest in the day that we eat of it, we shall die. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You're not going to die. Now in chapter 2, God does say when you eat of this fruit, you will die. So God says, eat this fruit of that one tree and you'll die. Satan says, you're not going to die. What is Satan saying about God? Satan is calling God a liar. And Satan actually supplies the supposed motive for why God would do this. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So in other words, Satan is insinuating God is arbitrary, he's restrictive, he's self-serving, he's keeping back something good from you. And Eve, you better get with it or else you're going to fall behind. Just go for the gusto. Just take this tree and you'll know good and evil. Now, the interesting thing is that God was withholding something from them. The knowledge of evil. The knowledge of evil is a bad thing. God never wanted us to know the evil. And that's what we have in this world today, a whole milieu, a mixture of terrible evil, and God did want to withhold us from that. There's a verse that says God will not withhold any good thing from his people. But so Satan's lies are God is restrictive, he's arbitrary, he's mean, he's self-serving. That is Satan's lie. And with that lie, he was able to deceive a third of the angels and Adam and Eve. And how is God going to respond to lies? You know, no one's ever lied before. Let's take a man and a wife. Let's say some gossip who is spreading lies comes and tells a woman, you know, your husband is cheating on you. And in this couple, that is just a complete lie. Total lie. But someone comes and tells the wife the lie, your wife is cheating. If the husband just simply says, that's a lie, is the wife going to breathe? You know, in our type of culture, is the wife just simply going to believe that? It would be very hard to. You know, you can't cast out a lie just simply by saying, that lie is a lie. That's a lie. You know, so God actually gave time for Satan to work out his, you know, Satan was claiming he could do things better. God's selfish. I can lead the universe better. And so God, you know, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The natural result of sin is death. If God had allowed the natural results of sin to fall on Satan then, and Satan had died, what would some of the questioning angels, maybe that middle third of angels, they didn't go with Satan, but maybe they were, well, I don't know, you know. If Satan had just all of a sudden dropped dead because he was countering God, or if he had died within 20, 30 years, whatever, which would be a breath in time compared to eternity, what would the questioning angels might have thought? Man, Satan said God is arbitrary, restrictive, and now he's dead. Maybe Satan's right. So God allowed Satan time to demonstrate so that it would become obvious that Satan's ways are a lie and murderous and result in suffering and in shame and such. And so at the time that Jesus came, as I already said from John 8:44, if Satan could have, he would have killed God. In John 12:31-32, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. So Jesus is saying, if I'm lifted up on the cross, when it becomes evident that Satan will get his end goal of actually killing God on the cross, it became evident to not only humanity, because the verse says, it shall draw all. I will draw all. Men is italicized, which in the King James means it was supplied by the King James translator to their best understanding. But if we can picture that when God allowed himself to be killed on the cross, he was not only proving to men and women that he is a God of love, mercy, grace, and truth, but he was also proving to the whole universe that he was a God of love, mercy, and truth, and drawing all unto himself. And So Jesus says, saying, when I die on the cross, the prince of this world, the temporary prince of this world, Satan, he's cast down. He was cast out when Jesus died on the cross. If there was any inkling of question in any of the angels or other beings throughout the universe, they saw at the cross that Satan's ways end only in death, and that God, instead of being restrictive, arbitrary and selfish, is a God of self-effacing, self-giving love, that he would allow himself to be killed. And when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus at that point felt as if he would never see the other part of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He felt as if he would never see them again, that he was dying forever. And David, through the words in a psalm, suggests this. I am shut up. I'm gone down into the pit. I am shut up forever. I cannot come forth. So Jesus felt as if he were dying forever, the eternal death, and yet he still went through it for you and for I. And so Satan was defeated at the cross. He is no more than just a roaring lion now. As 1 Peter 5... Oh, and by the way, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 4, 9. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. This concept that the earth, this earth is actually the theater of the universe. That we are the stage and the universe is the audience. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. Paul speaking here, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. So this, you know, again, this whole period of misery on earth, because Adam and Eve believed the lie, has been a short time in relation to eternity, and has been a demonstration to the whole universe that God is a God of love and Satan's ways end in death. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8. Casting all your care upon him, God, for he cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible clearly teaches us about this great controversy. And basically, Satan is already a vanquished foe at the cross. But God has allowed time to go on a bit so that many more could come, be born and come to a knowledge of God and be saved. And this great controversy continues on. It continues on in each one of our own hearts. And Jesus says, Satan is roaring at you like a lion. But as the book Pilgrim's Progress explains, all he can do is roar at you. Don't be intimidated by him. Don't let him draw you into his sin. He loves to draw people into sin, and then as Revelation 12 says, he's the accuser of the brethren. Day and night he accuses us. So he tempts us, and then he accuses us. Which is why we have an intercessor, and Jesus is our advocate, because we have someone accusing us day and night before the Father. I'll close with 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3-6. Paul speaking again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, the little g, God of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commands the light to shine, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So it's no coincidence that people are misled. The prince of this world, you know, it's his ultimate purpose in all the third of the angels that follow him to blind our minds, to get us to misperceive God, to continue to get to be misled by this lie that he told Adam and Eve and the original angels. So Jesus came to dispel the darkness, to show the truth about God. And so there we see the great controversy theme from the Bible, the scriptures, and we see that all the 28 foundational beliefs are they're teachings from the Bible. They're teachings from the Bible, just as we've shown that as an example. So the work of God on the human heart is like the growth of a flower. First comes the sowing of the seed, then the germination, followed by the sprouting of the plant, the bud, and finally the bloom. As we come closer to Christ, our understanding of his word and his will becomes clearer, creating within us a desire to follow him more closely. And as a result, we wish to fellowship with those whose experience has brought them to similar perceptions of God and his truth for these times.